I'm going to say it. One is valid and the other is not. I'll say it again. One is valid and the other one is not. And so we'll find ourselves, man, making statements like, well, that's a prayer warrior. Our prayer warrior, you know, where are the prayer warriors? Let's get the prayer warriors. Listen to me now. For this term, prayer warrior, to be attached to this scripture, there would have to be reference somewhere to prayer, contextually, and is not even remotely mentioned. This context has nothing to do with prayer. Hence, there's no such thing as a prayer warrior. They're warriors in the spirit, but prayer is not warring. Glory to God. Prayer is communication with your God. Hallelujah. And the minute we get that straight and focus on the prokosimaio, the word prayer most prevalently represented in the New Testament is prokosimaio. It means face to face. You're not warring with him, are you? You're talking to him. You're opening up that promise in his heart. This is a love relationship. Now watch this, and we must be careful. Because if we're not careful, we'll be focusing on our Father in prayer and start talking to the devil. We got our own car. We ain't scared of you. We can get out of here if we need to in a hurry. Listen to me. We're in praise and worship, focusing on our God. Next thing you know, I bind you, Satan. Well, if you're going to talk to him, go and talk to him. Amen? But not in the middle of a conversation with your Father. Don't shot me down. Amen? I'm telling you, why am I? Because I've been there. I said, because I've been there. We get these things, you know, ourselves become sometimes from coming through the keyhole backwards. Amen. It's not because we get, oh, I've got to go and share this with these people. They don't know it. Hey, I've been there. And if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves disengaging from prayer and talking to the devil. Somebody shout amen here. So then, there's no such thing as a prayer warrior. It's just a hybrid that came out of this particular scripture. You're not warring in prayer. Well, go to Ephesians chapter number 6. Let's help you out here, amen? Before y'all get all over me, amen? Ephesians chapter number 6, because I've been, well, some of you are concerning this, and some of you have seen it in times gone by, like I finally saw it, amen? And it helps you, because this is going to make your prayer life that much more effective. Now, we know it's a tremendously vast subject, prayer. But we're focusing on some things that's going to help us immensely. Look at the 12th verse. We know this again, familiar scripture. For we wrestle not, stop. We wrestle not against, but we do wrestle. So this is, everybody says struggle. You don't struggle talking to your Father.
That's right.
I'm sorry. There were a couple of times, particularly on that last song and one of the earlier songs in praise, that, you know, I just slipped on through there, stepped on over there, and there was that prokosimaio happening when I saw him as mighty. Hallelujah. You know, and it was like face to face. It was actually, I may as well stay here, Lord. One of the last things we teach on is praise as the highest form of prayer. Well, I wish I could get there. Hallelujah. I said praise is the highest form of prayer. And when you're praising him, you're giving thanks. Praise is thanksgiving. And so thanksgiving is prayer. So the highest form of prayer is praise. So when you're giving him his due, he said, I'm not, I don't pray that often. Do you praise? Can you lift your hands and shout glory to God? You are my all in all. You are praising him. You're praying. Praise, say it again. Praise is the highest form of prayer. You don't wrestle in praise. I'll get there, Lord. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against. So we do wrestle. There's a wrestling going on. But you wrestle against principalities, not against Jehovah. Against powers, not against the Holy Ghost. Against the rulers of the wickedness, rulers of the darkness, rather, of this age. Hold on, stay there, Lord. Of this age, aeon. They rule this age. And you wrestle against that. You're not praying to the Father. You're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers. Against the spiritual wickedness in high places or in the heavenlies. Now, there's Dottie Rambo's daughter. I can't remember what her name is. Reva and her husband years ago made a song, you know, making war in the heavenlies. It felt good. I'm bad. I'm making war. Well, what you going to do? And cast them down. And cast down them principalities. Where you going to send them? Where are they going to land? That's like saying, we bind that hurricane from coming into Louisiana. Send it to Mississippi. It's going to land somewhere. Where are you going to pull them down to? Are you hearing what I'm talking about? No. When we're praying, we're not warring. When we're praying, we're giving honor to God and have a belief system engaged. That he is who he says he is. And we're honoring that. Somebody shout amen here. So then, what does this do? This Ephesians 6 and 12. First of all, it tells us what we don't war against. We war not against the flesh. Okay? He goes on, we don't wrestle against our flesh. He goes on to tell us, it tells us who to wrestle against. Principalities and against powers and against rulers. It tells us where they are, who they are, where they are, what they are. Can you say amen here? Amen. They're a boat, nothing to do with honoring our God. Amen. Somebody shout amen here. Amen. So then we see that it's about resistance. It's about resisting those things that encroach upon this holy life. Right. Lord, that exhortation pastor gave us concerning temptation. Yeah. That's when you're wrestling. Right. You're fighting off that's trying to encroach upon this holy life. Yeah. Yeah. That which is trying to taint your righteousness. Yeah. That's when you're wrestling. Uh-huh. Amen. But you're not wrestling with God. Oh, man. Go to Romans chapter 7. We get over there, Lord. Romans chapter 7. Oh, somebody shout amen here. Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. I've gotten so much help out of this, you know, just on my personal walk with God that I can't help but share it with you. Romans 7, it says here, let's see, verse number. I can't pick up 22. 22 says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. 23. But I see another law in my members, extremities. And it's doing what? Warring. There's a warring going on. And here's where the warfare is. And it's warring against the law of my mind. God, Lord, man. You, being Homo sapien, amen, are no different from the Lord Jesus. 100% God, 100% man. And his manhood walked planet Earth to redeem you as the last Adam. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
And to do that, he had a war going on. In Matthew 4, you know the scriptures, Matthew 4, the temptation. I call it the temptation. Well, then, he was tempted in all ways, Hebrews 4 and 15 says, he was tempted in all ways, such as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
What all ways, every way. What are some of those ways? Only three of them: lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and pride of life.
All right.
No one has ever been tempted outside of those temptations. They do not exist.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. He was tempted in all ways, such as we are, yet without sin.
Amen.
Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life.
Amen.
He passed all three of those tests.
Yes.
As an example that a man could live above sin. But there was a war going on. Warring against the law of his mind. All warfare goes on in your mind. I said all war goes on in your mind. Do you think that Satan, taking him and set him on a pinnacle of the mount, you think he physically took Jesus there? Absolutely not.
Amen.
Absolutely. He never moved from where he was.
Amen.
And showeth him all these kings. How showeth? Right here.
Amen.
In the new house. N-O-U-S. The faculty of mental perception. The mind.
Amen.
That's where the warfare is going on. Amen. But I disengage from war and I pray. Amen. Or sometimes to prevent the entrance into the war, I pray.
Amen.
I prepare myself for every temptation that's coming my way.
All right.
Oh, man, I may as well say this.
Yeah.
I just shared this the other day in Birmingham. You can get blindsided. I'm in love with the bride of my youth.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen?
And I protect my relationship. Are you listening to me?
Amen.
We got some codes that we walk in. I'm going to tell you about them. We got some codes between the two of us that protect each other's anointing.
All right.
Amen?
Amen?
Because sometimes the anointing is what's attractive.
Right.
I mean, outside of the anointing, she's a pretty lady.
Amen.
And I ain't too bad myself. Glory. Hey! Glory. Hey! But it's the anointing many times. And what happens is that you have to be on guard. You have to be sure to help silly people. And it's just people, Peter calls them silly women. And they're silly men. Amen. I think they're more silly men than silly women. And so you have to protect yourself. We protect our relationship. I remember, I said this the other day, I was in Southern California. We lived there. And I was driving down near Huntington Beach. And I came around this corner. And there came out a young lady. You'd have to struggle to make a G-string. Amen? You need some more material to even make a G. Bad. And she threw her leg up on the top. I can see it right now on the top of a hood of a car. I was getting ready to turn. And out of nowhere, bam, I focus on that leg. And then all of a sudden, watch this. Whoa! I switched. That was a leg, but it wasn't hers. It was hers. Amen. I saw the birthmark. Glory to God. You got to be ready on the drop of a dime to switch your attention.
Amen.
Nobody's impervious to this.
Yes, right.
But if you pray it up, and that was early in our Christian walk, but even right now, that could happen.
Amen.
But the point is, all that's been prayed out already.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm prepared for it. Oh, you listen to me today?
Yeah.
I'm talking about hooking up with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And keeping your relationship so tight that nothing can permeate it.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
So then the war is going on where? In the mind. Everybody say in the mind.
In the mind.
Having said that, we're going to make a little adjustment here. So in communicating with God, we also see then that warring is not a part of our communication with God. We war in the realm of the mind because flesh is normally talking about not your upper epidermis in the Pauline epistles, but it's talking about primarily the unsaved soul.
Amen.
Or that unrenewed mind, we could say. And so that's where the war goes on. Wherever you've renewed your mind to, you pretty got the victory there. So many parts of it's not yet renewed.
Amen.
Amen? And you can, so when you get blindsided, if you got principles of the Word of God, you pray that word out. Pray that principle out. Amen? There's no temptation that has taken men such as common. Are you hearing what I'm talking about? You start praying that word out. Unlock that promise that God has in his heart for you. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now then, go to Philippians chapter number 2. Well, we won't go there because we got, you know, but look at 2 and 5 of Galatians. Philippians. Let this mind be in you. So we're talking about the mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, watch this, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, the word servant is slave, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, watch this, he humbled himself. Glory to God. And became obedient to the cross, even the death of the cross, wherefore God has highly exalted him. So humility then allows you to be exalted by God. Where do you fortify that in? In prayer. Because the mind of Christ can be operating in you like it operated in him. How do you know that? He said, let this mind, permit this mind, suffer this mind, allow this mind. Well, brother, No. 1 Corinthians 2 and 16 says, ye have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
So if you got that mind, allow it to operate like it operated in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
That takes care of all temptations.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
Now then, having said that, how is it then that Jesus, being the last Adam we just talked about, we're talking about prayer, we've not digressed at all. How did he get through his trials? He prayed to the Father. So what is it that we to do as far as getting through our trials? We do the very same thing he did. What do? We pray to the Father. Well, wait a minute. Well, there's another dispensation. We don't pray to the Father like he did. God, Lord. I say we don't pray to the Father like he did. Because he was the one that was sent as the last Adam. We pray to the Father, New Testament prayer, in his name. He didn't pray to the Father in his name, his own. We do that. So pray. Oh, Lord. So prayer is simple. How do we pray? We pray to the Father in the name of the Son. That's it. And so you can locate people. Particularly, I may as well stay here, Lord, Old Testament grounded people who are not moved forth into this area of grace biblically. All their sermons come from the Old Testament. Everything they use as an example is the Old Testament. Nothing wrong with that. It's the foundation, Paul says. Can you say amen? It's the foundation of the prophets and the apostles that we are built upon.
Amen.
Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. But now we got to have that. Don't you dare get me wrong. Without the Old Testament, you wouldn't understand anything in the New Testament.
Amen.
You would have no idea what Paul or James or anybody's talking about unless you had that foundation of the Old Testament.
Amen.
Can you say amen? So we have to have it. But if you can't cross over that dispensation, it tells me something. Your prayer life can't even be right. If you can't step over on this side of that NT, New Testament, then your prayer life is going to be skewed and wrong.
Amen.
You're going to call on the Father and Father God and Father God, Father God, Father God. You'll never go to him in the way he's prescribed for you to come to him in that name.
Yeah.
So Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
Prayer is essential, but it's got to be done according to how he prescribed it.
Amen.
So we pray to the Father in the name. Go to John 16, I think it is. I got a couple places I want to go here. Can't get to all of them, so let's go to John 16. Oh, Lord. Verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Surely, surely, I say unto you. Stop right there. Why would he say in that day, you shall ask me nothing? Because he's there, they're asking him everything. Everything they have need of, he's providing, and they're asking him for it. They're looking to him and him only. He is the prophet. He is the one that's been called to deliver. He's providing their food, their sustenance.
Yes, thank you, Father.
He's providing everything they have need of, and his bar. He's got the pouch with Judas, everything they have need of.
Yes.
He can buy it. The ministry is successful.
Come on now.
But in that day, when he's no longer there,
come on.
In that day,
yeah.
You shall ask me nothing.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, yeah. What do we do then? I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you.
Thank you. Come on.
So we're praying to the Father, but we got to ask in the name of the Son.
Yeah.
I know you know some of this stuff, but there might be. I said to the Lord actually early this morning. I said, Lord, now I understand. You know, I mean, I don't object when I get something from the Lord to share. But again, we're in the teacher's house. A lot of this is not new to you. You know this stuff. Amen? And so I said, well, Lord, why are we just laying this down? He says this. Well, I'm telling you, I almost dropped my cup of coffee. Amen? One of them mini shots right there. Glory to God.
Come on.
He said, for their expansion. That means new crop. New people never heard some of this stuff. You'll be able to share that. Somebody say amen. He said, for their expansion. Hallelujah. So then, he says here, whatsoever. Now, what's whatsoever? It's an indefinite relative pronoun plural. Thought you'd want to know that. Indefinite or non-definite pronoun plural, relative pronoun. What does that mean? Watch this. In the Aramaic, in the Greek, in the Hebrew, glory to God. In the Chaldean, it means whatsoever. Plural. Whatsoever's. Don't care what it is. Whatsoever's. Not, if I could have this one thing, whatsoever. Well, that's pretty inclusive. He's not a restrictive God.
Amen.
If it falls within the promises, you pray it.
Amen.
If it falls within the parameters of what he said you can have, you pray it.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
So whatsoever is whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Having said that then, how do we pray? That's wonderful. We pray in the name. Now we can go a number of places and look at that 14th chapter. Oh, boy. Go to the 14th chapter because I want to do something else here. I had this written down, so I'm going to go back to it here because I want to see something. John, the 14th chapter, because I just said something there. I was going to run by it. Glad I didn't. John 14, let's read verse 13. It says here, and whatsoever you ask shall ask in my name, so it sounds pretty much like a parallel scripture, doesn't it? That will I do. Wait a minute. Something's different. He said, whatsoever you ask in my name, the Father will give it you. In 23, here he says, if you ask the Father in my name, that will I do. Well, who's doing it? Him or the Father? Oh, this will help you big time.
Yeah.
It stresses the inseparability of the Godhead.
Amen.
Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
It comes from the Godhead. Somebody say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
When you ask the Father in the name, mm-hmm. you just know this, it's coming. Be persuaded of the fact that it's coming. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now then, so that's how we pray. What do we pray? First of all, prayer in and of itself is never a decision of man. You might say, I'm going to go pray right now. Well, true prayer, everybody say true prayer, is by unction. Say by unction. In other words, true prayer always comes by unction or leading or something on the inside of you in your spirit urges you to pray. You can decide to pray. I'm going to pray at 6 o'clock every morning. Well, fine. Nothing wrong with that. That's equivalent to, I may as well stay here, Lord, into what to pray, which is about to get into. So then, if true prayer is an unction, then we never initiate prayer. We are signaled to pray by the Holy Spirit in your spirit. And you may not even know what to pray. But when you don't, we got an 826 in Rome over to take care of that. Amen?
Amen.
But you got an unction to pray. You just, you know, if I said, well, I just got a burden to pray. Well, that's fine. You can call it burden. Amen? But burdens wear you down. Old Testament said, you know, don't say burden anymore. Don't even say it.
Yeah.
Now, that sounds good. You know, I just got a heavy burden to pray. Now, you got an unction. Glory to God. Woo! And you're being led to the altar of prayer. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
When you get that unction, watch this. For prayer to be effective, number one, you got to obey the unction. And secondarily, pray the will.
Yes.
Obey the unction and pray the will. So that brings us to what? What do we pray? We pray the will of God.
Amen.
What's the will of God? His promises to you.
Yes.
Whenever you see the word promise in Scripture, it has all to do with what God has promised the believer, with one exception. When the Pharisees came together and they promised to kill Paul. Outside of that, the promises of God are concerning the believers and him.
Amen.
And they can't be secured by negotiation. It's beneficially bestowed upon you, graciously bestowed upon you. They belong to you.
Glory.
Don't let no religious, dogmatic person tell you that these things don't belong to the church. Peace is yours. Prosperity is yours. You've already inherited righteousness, which is the foundation that provides all of those things. Whoa! Glory to God. Go to Galatians chapter number 3, just for a minute. Amen? We'll get back over there. Now, I'm supposed to be on point and going, you know, to these notes here. Here I am. It's all over the place. Galatians chapter number 3. Verse number 3. Everybody get ready to shout. Amen? Verse 13, you know this. Christ hath redeemed us from the law. Curse of the law, rather. Being made a what? A curse for us, for it is written. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. We're going to lie down on this 14th verse here. So that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise. What promise? Of the Spirit, the indwelling God.
Amen.
Watch this now. I may as well stay here in the middle. Glory to God. Like I said, we got our own car. Amen.
Yeah.
You notice that word blessing is singular?
Amen.
Now, I know we get over there, and there's nothing wrong with it, per se. Is that the blessings of Abraham. Don't say the blessings of Abraham. It's the blessing of Abraham. Everybody said the blessing.
The blessing.
I'll stop here in the middle just a little longer. In front of that word blessing is the definite article, T-H-E. With the article in front of it, It cannot be pluralized unless there's a group. The blessings would have to be a bunch of blessings already grouped. Otherwise, it's singularly pointing to one blessing. God, Lord. The blessing of Abraham. And it goes on to define what it is. It's the promise of the Spirit. That's the blessing of Abraham in its totality, righteousness.
Hallelujah.
That's the base upon which we get everything from God. We're righteous in His sight. Amen. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I mean, that man that got born again under the cupboard last night is righteous this morning.
Amen.
He took the hypodermic needle out of his arm, put the weed down, accepted Christ, and he's as righteous as you are right now.
Amen.
Why? 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 Because that's what we receive, the promise of the Spirit. So now in that respect, we got to say this, it's not the blessings of Abraham enumerated and Abraham having more riches and cows and can, you know, so we're going to get and spiritually blessed. All that is the result of the blessing. You didn't get that. All of that prosperity, and all of that stuff that Abraham had and eventually got and kept, and what we receive is the result of the blessing. Are there blessings? Yes, but they're not the blessing of Abraham. The blessing of Abraham produces that. Somebody shout amen. Man, I'm trying to finish this up, Lord, if you let me. So now, having said that, so we understand what to pray, but then he says here, it's the will of the Father. So prayer is not initiated by us, it's by unction. And when we get that unction, we yield. What did Pastor just say? He said, just step aside. He'd been praying in the Holy Ghost. Just step aside in the middle of people, just pray. Listen, when you get the unction, that's when you pray. God, Lord, I got to pray about that. Pray about it now. You can isolate yourself in Grand Central Station. You become isolated. Somebody shout amen. I do it all the time. I mean, just build myself up. My flesh and my against. What'd you say? Oh, nothing. What happens then when you get immediate unction, it responds, you need to respond with immediate prayer. And when you do, that what you're praying about won't get lost. I used to write music. I'd be driving down the freeway in L.A., and all of a sudden, a beat would come or a lyric would come. Man, I drive all over the place. By the time I got off that freeway, I had that thing down. I mean, I had the keys I wanted to sing it in. I had the stanzas down. I had the vamp down or the chorus. I had all of it down. Then I'd go somewhere else, and I'd come back and try to remember it. Gone. Why? Because even though it was part of me for a while, I didn't capture it and retain it and lock it down. Prayer will be fleeting to you if you don't capture it, lock it down, and that promise that God's trying to get you to receive will be missed. Immediately pray when you get the unction. Amen? Glory to God. I brought my watch up here. Ooh, look at that. I'm just about there. Glory to God. We've been out before 3 o'clock. Amen. Hallelujah. No, can't do that. So, what to pray? It's the will of the Father. What's His will? His word.
Amen.
So you pray the word. This is what we didn't do. You pray eloquently and pray and mimic other people's praying, or even pray out of your soul, out of your desire only. But if you never put it in the package of the word, it doesn't ascend.
Amen.
So you pray the word, which is the will to receive the promise. There's a promise attached to every word. Or there's a word attached to every promise. Find that word, pray that promise out, and pray the will of God and receive. Somebody shout amen here.
Amen.
Well, then, we pray the promise. 1 John 5 and 14. This is the confidence. That we have in Him. If we ask anything according to His will. That's the key right there. He hears us. And if we know that He heareth us, we also know, everybody say also know,
also know,
that we might, Heavenly Father, kumbaya, stop on by. No, 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 we know. We have the petition we desired of him. How do you know that? Confidence. Where'd that come from? Praying the will. So what could happen? We can pray without confidence. I said we could pray without confidence because we have need deprivation prayers. We have need of something so bad we throw ourselves on the horns of the altar and cry out to God. I'm telling you, the hypodermic needle of religion has anesthetized the power of the new birth. We cast it off. We pray the will of God. We pray the word of God. We have to pray in confidence. Well, what you mean? Because we can pray and with a hope soul. We can pray, who knows? We could pray with that mindset, if it be thy will. If we don't know what the will is, we don't know the... Wait a minute. Prayer in and of itself, we could have this generic and specific. We could pray the prayer of faith. Can you say amen? Amen. And praying the prayer of faith, we have aimed our faith at something. But any prayer that we pray should be in faith. Not the prayer of faith, but in faith. Can you say amen? Amen? So then if we're praying in faith, then we'll have confidence. What would keep us from having confidence? I'm glad you asked. 1 John chapter 3. Man. 1 John chapter 3. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Look at verse 20. This will keep us out of faith, keep us out of prayer, keep us out of confidence. For if our heart condemn us, our heart can condemn us. You ever tried to pray about something, all of a sudden your heart smote you? Only three people grunted. Amen. Every one of us have. I'll tell you one time, I remember I went to the Lord in prayer as earnest as I possibly could. I mean, it's long after being anointed and appointed. I'm praying about something, and I'm telling you, like somebody put a sledgehammer on the inside of me. Boom! Whoa! And instantly, I knew what it was. My heart was condemning me.